right, episode 34, we're back. And we've got a special guest here. We've got one of our designers, Mike, is sitting in here joining me on today's podcast. Say hello, Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Nice. I love multiple people do that. I love that. It's kind of like a running theme or whatever that. So we were shooting the bull in the office the other day and somehow stumbled onto this hilarious topic that I believe Mike either wrote a paper or did some.
There was a presentation. There was like one of my friends had a birthday party and their idea was to have a like presentation night. It's like a PowerPoint night. I guess it's like a thing that people do.
That's where, a riveting birthday party. Yeah, what in the world? This is what young people do now?
Everybody puts together a PowerPoint, whether it be funny or weird, whatever.
Okay, well, I will say the power of the presentation definitely can sway opinions and sway minds, right?
So,
I mean, obviously we do presentations for clients all the time and navigate them through. I will share a funny anecdote that years ago, my oldest child wanted to go to Bonnaroo, and put together literally a compelling presentation, like streamed it from her phone up to the TV, and it was like, "Hey, mom and dad, here's all the reasons why I want it," and like went through the entire thing, and it was like, "Okay, sold. You're going to Bonnaroo. Done. Mom and dad will pay for it." It was pretty funny. So the power of the presentation. I wasn't expecting it to be part of a birthday, which is interesting, but I'll take it. So, and the topic for today and what you're going to run us through here, the title of the presentation is what, Mr. Mike?
Comic Sans isn't as bad as you think it is, and this is why.
I know, Comic Sans.
Comic Sans.
We've all got thoughts. I think Kyler and I talked about Comic Sans on a previous podcast. We were talking about typefaces, and inevitably it always pops up, right? I think it was Avatar with Papyrus. Comic Sans popped up. I think it was the Dan Gilbert letter when LeBron left the Cavs, and he types at this scathing letter in the Cleveland newspaper or whatever, but it was all typeset in Comic Sans, right? Which was like, oh my gosh, that makes it seem not so serious.
Yeah.
If this serious letter is typeset in this. And I guess, before we go into your thesis and your presentation or the highlights, dare I say, right? Yeah. How would you describe Comic Sans, I guess? Or is that part of the... is that part of the
not really part of it. I mean, I guess it's just like a childlike,
interesting,
goofy,
handwritten. Yeah, it's a handwritten-esque font, right?
Yeah.
Instead of actually handwriting things out, you can just type out this, you know. And it is a default font, right? I mean, a lot of people sort of comes loaded on a lot of people's computers.
Yeah, Microsoft computers.
Yeah, and that's why it kind of became as prevalent. I think as it has is because it's kind of a default. It kind of comes with the computers, right? All right, so I'm going to turn it over to you, and then I'm going to jump into the color commentary because I won't be able to help myself.
Yeah.
On Comic Sans, a misunderstood font. What's about to happen? Yeah. I'm excited for this.
All right, well, I'll just go into the origins of it. Designed by a guy named Vincent Conair.
Okay.
He was a font engineer at Microsoft.
All right, interesting.
He also designed Trebuchet.
Trebuchet, okay.
And it says on his site that he did Wingdings, but... I don't think that's true. I'm not sure.
Okay. Okay. So
it
maybe
says it on his site.
Potentially claiming that he did Wingdings. And Wingdings is a typeface of a bunch of different pieces of clip art.
Yeah.
You know, basically. It's like the hands, the arrows, the, you know, just little symbols, little glyphs, dare I say, right? Yeah. Okay.
And the way that it came about actually is that he was asked directly by Melinda Gates to create this font for, there was a dog in this program called Microsoft Bob.
Okay.
And it was like basically a way for users to navigate Windows, like an easier way. And it was basically laid out like a house.
Okay.
And there was a dog that would talk to you.
Okay.
A little bubble.
So they replaced the paperclip. Remember how you used to have a little paperclip down
in
the corner?
I think that came afterwards.
Oh, okay. So pre-paperclip, potentially.
Yeah, I think pre-paperclip.
I mean, our copious show notes that we did before this, you know.
Yeah.
So, okay. So it was, but it was a Microsoft quasi tutorial of sort of navigating you through Microsoft. Is that what I'm to understand?
I don't know if it was a tutorial. I think it was just a UI, basically, like a weird UI.
Interesting.
Get people caught up and how to go through Microsoft.
Okay. So she makes a request to this gentleman to design a typeface for the dog?
The dog to speak in, you know, like the type bubbles, because I think they were using like Times New Roman or something. But and it didn't feel like...
Yeah, but we wanted it more comic-y. You know what I mean? Like if the dog is speaking and the speech bubble comes out, we want a typeface that reflects that. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So it never made it there to Microsoft Bob. I don't know why, but...
Okay.
It was released subsequently on Microsoft 95.
Okay.
And has been in our hearts and minds ever since.
Yeah, yeah. In our love and hate relationship ever since.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It was originally not designed as a typeface that you'd use.
Okay.
Like in Word or anything like that.
Makes sense.
It was made specifically for these applications for like children, basically.
Okay. Interesting.
One interesting part is that he created the typeface based on comics that he had in his office, and specifically the one that he comments on is The Dark Knight Returns.
Really?
Yeah.
I would absolutely not associate The Dark Knight Returns with Comic Sans.
Yeah.
This is blowing my mind. I mean, obviously Mike is looking at my face right now. My eyes are as big as saucers. Because The Dark Knight Returns, I would say, is a quasi-seminal moment in the history of Batman.
Yeah.
Frank Miller, obviously the creation, phenomenal, seminal piece of work. I would say that that is probably one of the most influential aspects of Batman in the history of Batman. It was really the transition from, I'm going on a tangent here. We didn't realize we're going to talk about Batman when we're talking about Comic Sans. But, you know, we have the original Batman. Then we go to Adam West. We get kind of the campy, blam sock pow Batman and all the sort of wacky, zany aspects, right? Frank Miller and this book that Mike's referencing really transitions it flips the script basically on, is Bruce Wayne wearing the Batman mask or is he truly Batman who wears Bruce Wayne as the mask, right?
Yeah.
It's the late 80s, really interesting, gritty sort of take. It totally changed. Mm-hmm. Every Batman since The Dark Knight Returns has totally been forever changed.
Yeah.
So, the fact that we've got Comic Sans and The Dark Knight Returns in the same sentence is absolutely blowing my mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Such a gritty thing you wouldn't think Comic Sans comes from.
I don't know off the top of my head who lettered that, but I would venture to guess back in the day, because it was pre-computer prevalence in comic development, right? Everything was lettered still by hand. So it's fascinating that he would take that approach. So I know Klaus Janson inked everything, but I can't recall off the top of my head who lettered it. So we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, keep going, Mike. This is fascinating.
Basically, I think the reason why it's become so hated now is because of its inappropriate use, obviously.
Yeah.
Its ease of access with so many people, as we said, because it's basically on every computer there is.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a Microsoft default font, and if you have a Mac and you have Word, it's there as
well. Yeah, exactly.
So because of that widespread ease of use, it's just kind of, people have just kind of overused it and misused
for sure.
it in many different ways.
One,
like you were saying earlier, one of the examples that I found was they used it in a slideshow for CERN.
Okay.
About the Higgs boson.
Oh my God.
So it's like,
like arguably the most scientific place on the planet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if we're smashing atoms and what's happening there. You know, I mean, I know enough to be dangerous in regards to what CERN is, right? But I would not associate a presentation of that scientific level with Comic Sans. That is totally, totally inappropriate.
Yeah. And I think that's definitely like emblematic of its use over many years.
Yeah.
But its appropriate use is seemingly more in line with like children or teaching.
Okay.
A Twitter poll from this magazine called TES, Times Educational Supplement.
Okay.
In 2017, they had 7,000 participants. They said that 44% of teachers use Comic Sans in their teaching resources.
Makes total sense.
So I don't know what kind of teachers those are. I'm assuming like kindergartners and first graders.
Oh, man, you might be surprised.
Yeah.
So speaking from experience, I have three children that are in various states of education.
Mm-hmm.
One of them has gone all the way through K-12 and is off in college now, right? So the amount of literature I've gotten over the past, 14, 15 years or whatever from schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a Friday flyer. Here's a this. Here's field trip, da-da-da-da. Yeah, dude, it's Comic Sans. It's total comic. You know, every other thing is Comic Sans. It's and I would say yes, it's from kindergarten or maybe even preschool, right? All the way through, there are the occasional high school teachers that are rocking Comic Sans, which is, again, not necessarily my favorite or appropriate. So, all right, interesting. Wow. Yeah. Mike, I love that you've done this much research. This is great.
Yeah. So. It's Comic Sans is widely used in schools, often due to its high legibility.
Yeah.
It's very easy to read.
Yeah.
And they're... When I originally made this, I just put like it's really good for dyslexic students is what they said. But
really?
Yeah, it's often used for like people who use or teachers who are trying to teach dyslexic students.
Interesting.
There's another font that I read while I was looking it up again. That's called like Dyslexy.
Okay.
Specifically made for dyslexic students. However, what I read is basically that it's not necessarily the font shape, like all the letter shapes and stuff. It's more due to like spacing of the letters.
Okay. Well, it does have horrendous kerning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. as most default fonts do, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, and I've mentioned this in the past and, you know, most of us grew up with like Century Schoolbook or a Times New Roman for a lot of our educational, components. Right. And as you learn to read, initially, you read individual letters, right? That's how we're all taught, right? A-N-D-T-H-E, whatever the case may be. But as you get older and as you start to read, you know, faster and as you grow up and whatnot, right? We actually stop, as human beings, we kind of stop reading individual letters and we read the shapes of the words.
Yeah.
Right? And we've mentioned on a previous podcast how all caps is actually harder to read.
Mm-hmm.
Because the shapes of the individual words are destroyed. It's just literally, it's just rectangle. Everything has the same cap height, has the same X height, you know? And so you actually do slow down, even if it's infinitesimal, right? Slow down in your brain as you're reading each individual letter to go through whatever the headline or subhead or whatever it might be, right? But if you think about reading a book, even on your iPad or a traditional paperback or whatever, you know, and the word and has a shape to it, has a shape to it, right? Yeah. So it's interesting that one of the side effects here, I mean side effects purposely, you know, is that there is an inherent interesting legibility aspect to Comic Sans. I wouldn't have expected that either. So, all right.
Yeah.
Keep going, brother. This is interesting. I love this.
Another good reason for the font is it's very good for modeling handwriting for kids.
Okay.
Because it's very handwritten, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Well, it does have the... I don't even know what you would call it. Like the crossbars overlap the letter forms and things like that, right? It is kind of, it's goofy in that it's not mechanically sound, right? There is overlap of letter form creation. So, okay, I'll give you that one. I'll give you that one. So,
I think obviously it's aesthetically pleasing to children. So I think that's another.
Sure.
Appropriate. So in a sense, I think it's just appropriate and it's very limited amount of space. It's not, you're not going to find me going out making a logo with Comic Sans anytime soon.
No one should ever do that. No. So.
But it has its very limited use. And I think just because people use it in this wide format that it's just...
That's why it's so misunderstood.
Yeah, that's why people just hate it so much.
Yeah, yeah. It's not, well, you know, I mean, I don't want to say design snobs, but, you know, yeah, traditionally trained graphic designers or anyone on our side of the fence, design, advertising, probably is going to steer clear of any default font, right? Yeah. We're not going to use Georgia. We're not, you know, that kind of stuff, right? Chicago, I don't even know if that's still even loaded anymore, but your base, you know, Trajan has run its course, you know, that type of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So in closing, do you have any closing thoughts on this or?
A few things.
Okay.
So I think this quote from Vincent Conair himself encapsulates kind of what I'm talking
about. Ooh, I'm dying to hear this.
He says, type should do exactly what it's intended to do. That's why I'm proud of Comic Sans. It was for novice computer users, and it succeeded with that market. People use it inappropriately. If they don't understand how type works, it won't have any power or meaning to them.
Mm, interesting.
So that's kind of, I think, appropriate for the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, if you designed Comic Sans, would you be proud of it?
Probably not.
Really?
Myself, I don't know. Well, I guess there may be in the sense that it's like the font that people use.
Yeah.
Like, or that people know. It's
yeah.
like probably the most widely known font.
I am kind of the opinion, and I think maybe this is because I'm kind of a historian of advertising and just sort of love the concept of visual communication and the power of persuasion, right? I'm of the opinion that a room divided is better than a room ignored. Right.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have half of everybody love me and celebrate me and then have the other half not necessarily have that same opinion, you know? So while I'll never use Comic Sans, you know, I mean, if I designed it, I'd absolutely throw it on the resume and say, hey, proud designer of Comic Sans, you know, it's unfortunate that it was used on the signage for that, you know, bagel shop or, you know, down the street or what, you know, what I mean, used in all these inappropriate places, but we've joked on a previous podcast about sometimes you create these things, you send them out in the world, and then it's, oh man, it's not your baby anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, oh no, why did you do, you know what I mean? Like you kind of lose control to a certain extent of things definitely. You create. So that's clearly what happened with this gentleman, right?
Yes,
so.
For sure.
All right.
And then one last little fun fact about Comic Sans. He claims, Vincent Conair, he says that he's only ever used the font once.
Really?
It's similar to the story that you told earlier about the basketball coach.
Okay. Dan Gilbert?
Owner.
Yeah, the owner of the Cavaliers,
He says, I've only ever used Comic Sans once. I was having trouble changing my broadband to Sky, so I wrote them a letter in Comic Sans saying how disappointed I was. I got a 10 € refund. In those cases, I would recommend it. The basic theory is that typography should not shout, but Comic Sans shouts.
That's funny. So use it almost as a appeal to the lowest common denominator to complain about something.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. That's so crazy. So, all right. So the question everybody's dying to know, and Mike, this has been super awesome, is you do the presentation at the birthday party of presentations. What did everybody say? What did everybody think?
They liked it. Yeah. They were like, oh yeah, no, I get it now.
Yeah.
I definitely understand.
Yeah. Well, I think, now that we've had the benefit of running through why it existed or why, not why it existed, excuse me, why it was created. Right.
Yeah.
And the purposeful design choices behind that, it does give a little bit more credence to potentially Comic Sans, a misunderstood font.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, definitely. I still have trouble. I'm going to have to go dig up my Dark Knight Returns and find out, you know, because I'm 99% sure that was all hand lettered and see sort of how the inspiration for that turned into this god awful typeface that's gone all over the world, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, think about how many Microsoft, since 95, I mean, think about how many Microsoft, you know, platforms and computers and whatever since 1995 have made it out in the world.
Yeah.
Dear Lord.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's a lot of Comic Sans, my friend.
Lots of Comic Sans.
That's crazy. All right, cool. Well, hey, Mike, thanks for jumping on. Super appreciate it. Super fun. Yeah, of course, man. Anytime. You're welcome back anytime.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody can find us at mocktheagency.com. You can find us on the socials, mocktheagency, and drop us a line and we will chat with you again soon. Thanks everybody.